Welcome to the Idea Talks, where we discuss big ideas. The Idea Talks is a weekly podcast with Josh Tice and other leaders on big ideas for life, leadership, and ministry. And I'm your co-host, Drew Polvencia. For more information on this podcast, visit ideanetwork.church.
Today's big idea is restoring a fallen brother. What do I do? How do I move forward? We're going to talk about that today on the Idea Talks. Hey man, this is the part of the episode where we're supposed to advertise my book.
All right.
So what do you think we should?
I don't feel bad about it. It's not a shameless plug. It's literally your book. You've put a lot of work into it.
That's a good point. So you need to pick up a copy. And hey, here's the thing. If you buy a copy and you didn't like it,
right.
Drew said he'll pay for you to ship it back.
That's not what I said. At least an In-N-Out Burger, I'll ship to them.
You'll ship them.
If it's on the East Coast, it'll be all spoiled, but it's fine. Hey, I'm in this book too.
You are. You're actually in this book. And I say some things that people don't know about you. It's going to be great. I tell some stories.
All right.
Are you?
Where can people find this book at?
Oh, that's right.
And what it's called.
Okay, so you can pick up this book.
Right.
It's called The Quest for Friendship.
The Quest for Friendship. Insert Galleon's music here.
That really is what it is.
Right. It's happening right now.
The Idea Network publishing arm of our network has produced this awesome resource, and I really do appreciate it. It's exciting. It really is a discussion of friendship, and I want you to pick up a copy at ideanetwork.church in the shop tab. It's the very first resource at the very top. You can pick it up, and if you put in the promo code free shipping is yours.
All right.
Yeah.
There it is.
Go do it now.
The Quest for Friendship. Welcome to this edition of the Idea Talks, and I must say, if you hear something in the background, it's because we're recording this at a functioning church of Southern Hills.
Yeah, we're in our
studio. No room is sacred.
We're in our studio,
yes.
Quote unquote, and right outside that door is the Hana Korean Southern Hills Church, which is one of our campuses, one of our ministries, and they are having VBS.
I'm so thankful for that.
Right. And so you're going to hear children screaming and kazoos and whistles and balloons popping. It's so awesome.
I'm so thankful that children are getting to hear the gospel, getting to hear more about God. But my editing here is like, anyway.
Yeah. And that's okay because you're listening to this and in the middle of this very interesting, heavy topic, you're going to be thinking to yourself, you know what? Kids are having fun celebrating Jesus. So it's just going to make your day as you listen to this. In the background.
Yeah, so we got a few things to talk about today, right?
Yeah, we have a lot to cover today because, as you know, if you're listening to this podcast and you don't know what's going on, a lot of changes have happened here at the Idea Network, and we're going to address some of those in this episode. And why? Why would we address this, Drew? Why are we going to be talking directly about this instead of kind of bypassing and kind of moving on?
I think one of the things and the characteristics about the Idea Network has always been authenticity and transparency. And today's podcast and episode is going to be an effort to maintain that.
Yeah.
Hard as it is.
I mean, to be honest, it's a whole, from our seats, it is, I understand now why an institution, a church, a college, a network, a denomination so quickly says, let's just move past this without addressing it. It is definitely a temptation. And where a temptation is, you know, behind the temptation is not the Lord. And the reality is institutions can burn, colleges can go away, denominations can fall, churches can go away, but the kingdom of God goes on. What doesn't need to burn down, number one, are people. And then number two, truth. So today, we want to continue with that tradition of this podcast to say, hey, we'll talk about everything and anything, and nothing is off the table. This is the Idea Talks, where we talk about big ideas. And the big idea that we want to confront today and talk about is how to restore a fallen brother, how to care for a friend who has fallen away from the Lord. And this is relevant for all of us, isn't it?
Yeah, if you think about globally in the church, there's been some very, we'll call them like superhero pastors, right? Mm-hmm. Or rock star pastors, you know, that have fallen away from the faith due to lots of different things, moral failures or...
financial.
Yeah.
Or anger.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them that are constantly on podcasts, famous podcasts now dealing with these kind of things.
Yeah. So our effort today is to try to not sweep things under the rug, not to try to brush it aside, but also to give practical things and ideas. That's what we're all about, right?
Yeah.
On how to move forward.
So we're going to talk about it personally, how we're going to address this particular issue. Now, you might be saying, okay, Wim, let's go into the details. The details of what took place when it comes to the former leadership of the Idea Network, all the details that we will be sharing have been in a public statement placed on our Facebook group, as well as emailed to all of our members. It's readily available all over social media if you want to find that. Other than that, beyond those details, you know, you can talk to the individuals that were involved, or talk to people who have no idea what they're talking about.
Sure. Yeah. The goal here is not to air out dirty laundry.
It's not to get into those details. It's to talk about what do you do when you have, what do you do when you have a brother in Christ? A pastor, just this week, an Idea Network member, probably listening to this episode, contacted me this week and said, Josh, I'm so sorry for what you're going through. He said, in the last 3 months, I've had five pastors that I either personally know or am aware of, five in 3 months, who have fallen away from God and therefore have disqualified themselves from the ministry and are not coming back to the ministry.
Wow.
What do I do?
Yeah.
What do I do? And so we talked about it. I said, man, I don't know. I don't have all the answers, but this is what I'm going through. This is what I've seen.
Yeah.
And so I thought, you know what? That'll be the next episode of the podcast. I talked with Drew. I said, this is what I want to share. The three steps of what to do with a fallen brother. What to do next.
Yeah. And I think this is really hopefully going to help people that have gone through this situation. And you say, hey, like, I would never go through this situation. Like, live a couple more years.
Yeah.
If you're close to ministry, I don't wish that upon anybody, but, you know, in some way, shape or form, my wife and I have been trying to minister ever since 2008 when we got married to, each other. And this has happened several times already in our ministry, and our heart ministry has not been nearly long enough as others, you know? And, you know, we've learned a lot from it. But I know Josh has a lot of things that he wants to say as well today that, will hopefully help those individuals that are listening.
I believe very first thing you do when you get that call, when you go through that moment, the very first thing to do, and it's going to seem cliche, but I'm telling you, the reason why we go through failure in the first place is because we're not practicing this. Step number one, get alone with Jesus.
Now, that's what you're telling them, or that's what you're doing?
No, that's what I do when I hear this news, and that's what I'm telling you to do when you hear the news. Step number one, get alone with Jesus. You're going to hear of a friend, a family member, a fallen minister, and you say, man, what do I got to do? What do I got to do? Here's the temptation to begin searching and scouring online, to call that person and confront them, to begin making a plan for them to be restored. None of that. None of that. The first thing you need to do is get alone with Jesus. And I'll tell you why. You can be drained emotionally and spiritually in a minute. Depending on how close an individual is, depending on how bad a situation is, you could be so filled up with the Lord and so powerfully ready to serve God, and all of a sudden, boom, in a moment, you're hit with news, and then you're just depleted.
Hmm.
Don't attempt to minister while you're depleted. This goes back to the Gospel of Mark. When Jesus Christ calls the disciples originally, way, way back in Mark chapter 3, the Bible says that Jesus Christ was walking by the Sea of Galilee and he saw the disciples, and the Bible says that he called the disciples to him and then sent them. He called them specifically verse 14 says he appointed the 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach. Notice this, the Bible doesn't say that Jesus called the disciples to preach. He called the disciples to be with him.
It's a pattern for us to follow.
That's exactly the pattern. In that moment of crisis, God is not calling you to action. God is calling you to quietness. Mm. God is not calling you to go confront and preach. God is not calling you to step out a 10, 12-step plan for this individual. God is calling you to be with Jesus. You don't minister to others from a depleted place. You minister to others from an overflow of abundance of time with Jesus. And it's going to be okay. You say, but this has to be dealt with now. The mess will be there in an hour.
Hmm.
The mess will be there in a day.
It's good.
Maybe what you need to do is grab your Bible and go hike a mountain. Maybe what you need to do is go for a drive and go to a lake. Sit there and say, Jesus, I'm depleted. I just found out this is going on. I don't know what to do. And just to remind yourself, all you are, all I am, are a few fishermen who got called from Galilee. All you are is a tax collector called from the booth. All you are is a prostitute called out of the ghetto. All of you are is a disciple of Jesus. And this disciple of Jesus needs to go back and spend some time with Jesus. And from that place, first and foremost, you'll be filled with the Spirit of God to do what you must do next.
I love the point you make there about trying to spend time alone with God first. There's so much that can happen if we don't do that, right? We can react as opposed to responding in the right way. And I think about trying to get a Spirit of Christ-like influence and have the Holy Spirit control us rather than our own emotions help, you know, going forward. So what's the next step here?
Okay, step number one, just stop and spend time with Jesus. You say, but I haven't even dealt with the person. You cannot deal with the person until you deal with yourself first. Step number one, spend time with Jesus. Step number two, as hard as it is, step number two, confrontation.
Yeah, Galatians tells us in chapter 6, verses 1-3, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watching yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks that he is something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. It's good.
Yeah.
I think about, there's so many things I love about this passage. Keep watching yourself, lest you too be tempted. There's a spirit of humility here where it says don't for a second think that you're better than this.
Yeah, I love this. It's not the sense of confrontation, like, okay, here we are, the group of—
That can never happen to me, yeah.
Yeah, this group of Pharisees, and we've got our royal robes on and our garments, and we're going to go before you, right, and we're about to pick up stones and cast them at you. This is a completely different perspective than that. It is, okay, brothers, if you know a brother, this is a family. Brothers, if you know a brother who has been overtaken in this sin, those of you who are spiritual. Now, notice that goes back to the first point. You're not spiritual if you are not walking in the Spirit.
Yeah.
If you're not spending time, that's why you got to go fill yourself up. Be filled with the Spirit and not with wine. And so filled with the Spirit, you're spiritual. You who are spiritual, go and restore. The whole point is restoration, where we're going to get to in the next point.
Yeah.
Restore such a one in the spirit of humility. Considering yourself, you're thinking about the fact that you also could be in that position. And listen to me. There are men listening to this right now, women listening to this right now. You and I both, all of us could equally be in that position next week. So if you're going to restore, by the way, it doesn't say, man, if I'm in that position, if I could be in that position, I'm not going to help. No, you could be in that position, therefore help.
Hmm.
Brothers, with humility, restore such a one in the spirit of humility, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Man, that's so good. So confrontation needs to be coming from a place of
humility.
What does verse 3 say again?
Verse 3, for if anyone thinks he's something when he is nothing, he deceives himself.
So good. To think of yourself as more than you ought to think, that's the way Philippians says it.
Yeah.
You think to yourself, man, well, I this would never happen to me. He says, you don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
If you think that, you are the most prime suspect for failure. And so what do you do? Confrontation in a spirit of humility. And the other two aspects that I've talked with my dad a lot about, and that is authenticity and compassion. Mm. Authenticity means truth. It means be real.
Yeah.
That means if you're going to confront the guy, you're not going to confront your friend and being like, well, I kind of understand. Look, here's what's going to happen. If you have to confront somebody in error, they've already lied to themselves hundreds, if not thousands of times. They don't need you patting them on the back, lying to them too.
Yeah.
So you got to get real. You got to get truthful and say, no, you're not thinking about this right. You've sinned. You've got to be Nathan the prophet in this moment.
Yeah.
You got to love that person enough to tell them the truth. Authenticity is truth. And then compassion is love. Looking at them and saying, I love you. I'm going to help you with this. I'm going to go through this with you.
Sure.
I'm going to help you through this. So it's confrontation with humility, with authenticity, and with compassion.
I think those last two paired with each other are really important, because I think we've all had examples of where one was absent. Mm. So in other words, we can be super authentic but non-compassionate, and you come across as a dictator or a pompous Pharisee, like you were saying earlier. Or the person who leans on the compassion, you know, leg of the stool too much, and then they don't care about the authenticity and they never really resolve the issue. So I love the fact that those, you know, your dad gave the advice to you as far as those two paired with one another.
This happens all the time when it comes to quote unquote cover-ups in ministry. We want to, there are two reasons sometimes that people will cover up. Number one, we're going to cover up because we're going to get in trouble ourselves. The institution is at stake because the institution is at stake. It needs to be protected.
Yeah, burn save the brand, right?
Yeah, save the brand. Burn the brand.
Yeah.
Burn down the college. Burn down the university. Burn down the institution. Who cares about it? It's the name of Christ that matters.
Yeah.
The name of Christ that matters. So sometimes there's cover up because people think the institution matters more than the kingdom of God.
Mm.
The institution is not the kingdom. Idea Network is not the kingdom of God. It's a dumb little network of pastors who get together because they like each other, but it can go away and God's kingdom will go on. So burn it to the ground if it needs to. But number one, when we confront, we're confronting with a sense of authenticity and honesty and compassion. And so that we're going to this individual and saying, look, let's get real. Let's get really honest about where you're at and what took place. And sometimes we cover up because we're afraid the institution or myself might be touched or I might be, my reputation. Who cares about all that? All right. Number one, cover up. The other thing is because of compassion without authenticity. And I do think that happens.
Yeah.
Sometimes we don't give people the benefit of the doubt. They should never cover up. But sometimes cover up happens because, oh, it's not that big of a deal. It is a big deal.
Right.
Oh, well, you know, this kind of thing, everybody's involved with. Not everybody's involved with it. It's a lie. It's a lie. By the way, if you're out there right now and as a minister, you're thinking to yourself, oh, man, I mean, everybody's involved with the thing. No, stop it. Not everybody's involved with the sin that you're involved with. Seek help.
Yeah.
Seek help. And realize truth and compassion. So like you said, sometimes there's so much compassion, it turns into cover up and they're not dealing with the sin.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's all truth and they just genuinely don't care about the person. So they cut somebody off.
Right.
Neither one is appropriate. What do you do when you have a brother fall into sin? Here's what you do. Number one, you've got to go spend time with Jesus so you can fill up. So that number two, you can confront the sin with humility, compassion, and authenticity.
Yeah, I was reading in Psalm 23 the other day. Verse 3, it says, he leads me in path of righteousness for his name's sake. And that really struck me because why is it, it's not for my name's sake or for the church's name's sake or for the institution, like you're saying. At the end of the day, it's all about the cause of Christ and his name. That's why he leads us in path of righteousness, is because at the end of the day, what do people know and what do people think when the name of Christ is uttered? Mm. They'll ultimately go back to a person, and that's probably you. So are we reflecting that in how we're walking in our paths of righteousness?
Mm.
So I love that point.
Mm. I love it too.
Yeah.
This is about him and not about us.
Right.
It's never been about us. Rick said this, Rick Warren said this in the opening lines of his book, Dinity.
Yeah, it's not about you.
Yeah, he said life, purpose-driven life. It's not about you. It's not about you. And listen, my brother, listen, you're going to have to remind me of this someday. Your ministry is not about you. Your church is not about you. Your little nonprofit is not about you. The work that the king sent you on is not about you. It's about the king. It's about the king. So first and foremost, we need to understand, number one, first thing you've got to do, spend time with Jesus. Number two, confrontation with humility, with compassion, and with authenticity.
So hopefully this can lead to the third and last point, and that's restoration.
Yes. The purpose.
So we're not just going to cancel everybody like the culture does around here right now.
Look.
Write them off, right?
Bro, look, what you just said is so important. We are not them. I've been preaching to our church for 2 years.
Yep.
We are not Corinthians. We're Christians. We are not Romans. We're Christians. We are not Ephesians. We're Christians. We are not Americans. We're Christians. What they do is they cancel. What we do is we restore. And our responsibility is to restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. We are to bring them back to Jesus. The problem comes in our life as pastors is we confuse and we misunderstand that restoration does not mean restoration to ministry.
Right.
It means restoration to the master. It's not about restoration to the pulpit. It's about restoration to a person. Restoration is not about getting your fallen brother back to the idol of a church. Restoration is getting them back to the Christ, about getting them to Jesus. And so if you're going to help your brother, help them get to Jesus, not to some kind of a ministry, which is oftentimes where this mistake is made.
So often selfishly, we want people to be restored to their former status or glory that we once knew them by, so they can keep ministering, right? And that's where you talk about people trying to cover up things that are happening in the church or at a college or an institution where it's not the right thing, right? We have to make sure that the relationship with Christ, ultimately, like we started out this podcast saying, Jesus Christ calls us to himself first for relationship. So when that relationship is severed due to whatever it is, anger, sin, a moral failure, we have to try to restore them, not to us, not to the ministry, but to Christ and that relationship first and foremost. That's the goal.
And what we do is we often are confused. We think, but can't God restore them and use them again? Yes, to both. God can restore them to Jesus. That's the most important thing. And use them again. The problem, again, is in the conflation between being used by God and what you view as full-time ministry.
Yeah.
Which is something I want to talk about in a future episode. Full-time ministry. What are we talking about? We have to talk about the difference between the secular and the sacred divide. Just because somebody has fallen doesn't mean God can't use them. Oh, then put them back in the ministry. No, because God can use people outside of quote-unquote the pulpit. We have to get our minds around
this. Wait, what? That's a thing?
It's a thing.
The only way Christ can't use me is just if I'm standing up in front of the audience every single day and preaching?
No, only God can use preachers.
Look,
God used Nathan the prophet. Right. But God also used David the king.
Yeah.
God used a variety of people. He continues to use a variety of people. It is what we see in the New Testament over and over. And we have a responsibility to remind fallen brothers, God can use you again. But it doesn't mean necessarily a restoration to the pulpit. It means a restoration to Jesus. And then Jesus will do this. Jesus is the chess master, and he can now put you wherever he wants you. And guess what? He will use all things together for good to them who love God and to them called according to purpose. You're not done. Your life is not over. You've got great potential, great future to use all that you've learned, but not in the same way you used to be learned. There are things that are disqualifying to pulpit ministry. And that needs to be expressed. That needs to be shown. Restoration to Jesus doesn't mean restoration to the same position. It means you have a restoration to Jesus. And from there, the master will say, okay, I love you. You're with me. Everything's okay. I now have a different assignment for you. And that different assignment's going to be beautiful.
Yeah, David wasn't done after Bathsheba happened, right? Exactly. Saul wasn't done after the sins of him. We can go forward as well.
Yeah. Restore to Jesus, restore to a local church. It may not be the same local church. Restore to a local church. And then from there, God will be able to use that individual.
All right, so you walked us through those 3 points. We know practical ways of how to restore a brother. Boots on the ground for us, Josh.
Yeah.
Like, what does this mean for us practically at Idea Network? And what does it look like going forward for us from here?
Yeah, it's a good question. I know there are people asking or wondering, you know, like, man, I mean, when we're talking about the failure of a brother, it's one thing. When we're talking about the failure of a leader of a church, how does that church move forward? Or a leader of an organization, how does that organization, or a leader of this network? Let's get real practical. A leader of this network, how does the network move forward? And the answer is very practically. Here's one of the things that we have to remember about any good work of God. First and foremost, it's built upon no other foundation other than Jesus Christ, number one. Number two, any ministry that is built upon the personality of one individual, it's called a cult of personality. It falls apart because that one person fell away.
Mm.
We have been actively pursuing and hoping and praying and working toward that not being the case.
Sure.
So we're in a position at this point where we don't have to allow all these things to go away because one person falls away.
Yeah.
In fact, the practical steps that Kylie and I have made over these last few days is to replace the former leader and put in place the new vice president of the Idea Network in his temporary seat over the next 12 months, which has been a commitment, as a interim vice president of the Idea Network for 1 year, is Pastor Jeremy Rands, who has been part of the Idea Network now for years. Pastor Jeremy Rands brings a great pastoral ability, a sense of gravitas, a great leader within our network, a lot of ministry experience, both pastoral and from a perspective of caring for pastors and their wives, brings that to the table, and we're really looking forward to what he has to bring. Through Kylie and I's discussions with Jeremy now, we, the leaders, the official board members of the Idea Network, have already determined a few things. First and foremost, that nothing that is coming down the pipe that needs to be canceled. because nothing is built upon one person.
Yeah.
The Idea Nights are going forward, and I've had many of the Idea Network sites contact me, and they're really excited. They're like, this doesn't mean we're canceling. We've got a lot of pastors coming. Like, no, you guys do you. And so Idea Nights are going forward. The two Idea Days in 2022, which is the one down in Florida and Tampa, the one that's taking place in Chicago, are going forward. The Big Idea Summit in 2023 down in Dallas, Texas, that's going forward. The membership week-by-week membership program is going forward. In fact, that's been incredible this month, because this month specifically, we've been talking about the devotional element of where we are personally with God, and then we're doing some prayer times. It's been, I mean, it was incredible these two Tuesdays. Now, what then specifically as it relates to the network itself? Well, one of the things that Jeremy Rands, myself, and Kylie are wanting to do is establish a temporary advisory council. And over the last few weeks, there have been members of our community who have gotten an invitation to sit for this next year on this advisory council to hear, number one, what our plans are, and then number two, for us to hear from them on many of the events that we have coming up, many of the thoughts that we have going forward, and really to speak into the life of the network. And so we're in a unique moment, Drew, where we're actually hearing from the leadership of our network like never before.
Yeah.
And we're really excited about having this advisory council help me and help Kylie and help Jeremy lead this network into the future. I'm very excited about it.
Yeah, the mission of Idea Network has not changed at all. And you can find this on our website. It's ideanetwork.church. But the mission of Idea Network has always been to provide inspirational and collaborative environments, both virtual and real world, in which a Christian minister can share methodical ideas, philosophical ideas, and theological ideas without the fear of embarrassment or reprisal.
Yeah, none of that's changed.
Yeah.
I mean, we're still that network. Our goal is to provide these inspirational and collaborative environments on the internet, in real world. None of that's changed. And that's the beauty of a network that is about specifically ideas. Well, what about the relationships that are built? What about the tightness of our relationship? Well, any relationships can be tested, of course, and mine has, I'm sure you know, obviously. You say, then where does the network go from here? One of the beautiful things that I've been really wrestling with and realizing is that God doesn't just allow us to go through difficulty and through trials, but he helps us to grow through difficulties and grow through trials. It's become very evident to Jeremy Rands, myself, and Kylie that what God is attempting to remind us of is that we need to be a network focused on spiritual health, soul care, and where pastors can come to be honest and vulnerable about where they're at and where they need to go. One of the major shifts in focus and attention that you're going to see at the Idea Network is that this is the place to come when you have no place to go. This is the place to come when you need a retreat that's like, okay, I need to get away with my wife and I. Yeah. Where do I go? What do I do? Call us. I need to figure out who I need some Christian counseling, Christian therapy. I can't emphasize that enough. If you're seeking counseling and therapy, seek Christian counselors and Christian therapists. You say, but I don't know who to reach out to. Reach out to me. Reach out to me. And I'm telling you this. This is my promise to you. Listen to me. If you're a pastor right now and you're like, I got to see somebody, call me. What I will do if you feel like you can't open up to me, I will personally pay for you and your wife to go see a Christian therapist. I'm telling you, it is worthwhile. I will help you do that. Jeremy and I will help you do that. Jeremy's going to love the fact that I just committed him to that. I know he's probably listening in his office right now and he's amening this.
Yeah.
I'm telling you this. Contact us. We can help you. You say, man, I'm uncomfortable talking to another pastor about this. Contact us. We will help you find the counseling. And you're going to see suddenly there's something different about Idea Day. There's something different about Idea Night. There's something different about Idea Network. And that's because we have been hit strongly. Well, we're not going to allow this hit to not change us.
Yeah.
This is not going to be the, oh, yeah, that thing, and then we move on, and let's talk now about your connection card. Oh, we're going to talk about connection cards. We're going to talk about assimilation. We're going to talk about retention. We're going to talk about all the ideas. But things like this don't happen to you without them ultimately forever shifting things. And that's what's exciting. We're going to lean into that like never before. And now we'll be a place of ideas. We'll be a place of relationships. But we're also going to be a place where we focus on spiritual health of the minister. I'm excited about that.
That's today's episode. Thanks so much for tuning in. I know it's a little different pace for us, yeah. But hopefully you guys were blessed as a result of it. Thanks so much for listening to today's Idea Talks. If you would like to reach out to us, drop us an email at joshtice@ideanetwork.church. If you benefited from this podcast, we ask that you take a moment to show your support by subscribing, rating, and reviewing the podcast on iTunes. Thanks again for joining us, and we will see you right here again at the Idea Talks podcast.